You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill ahead of another Premier League weekend. 10 games to preview on this podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio. Derek McGovern, first of all, on the line. Good morning to you, Derek.
Good morning, lads. All well, I hope.
All very well, thank you, sir. And filling in for Tom Kerwin, who's away on an international break at the moment. He's not gone to the AFCON, but he's got bigger fish to fry at the moment. Simon Barlow redressing the balance, a Manchester United fan, because if you're not already aware, Derek is a Liverpool fan. So we've got to get a Manchester United fan on the podcast this week. First of all, good morning to you, Simon.
Good morning. Looking forward to locking horns with everybody.
Let's get stuck into the podcast. And as always, we'll start with the televised games. And first up this weekend, it's Tottenham versus West Brom at White Hart Lane. Spurs are 1-3 to win this match. The draw 4-1 with West Brom in the market at 10-1. Enhanced odds, Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win was 11-10. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Salomon Rondon to score and West Brom to win was 14-1. That's been boosted to 20-1. Start with you here, Simon. The last three meetings between these two sides have ended one apiece. It wouldn't maybe be a major shock if the spoils were shared here as well, because West Brom have been good this season under Tony Pulis.
Yeah, they've certainly surpassed expectations. I don't think they get a draw here, though. I can certainly see it being a low-scoring affair. Tottenham at 1-3. It's the shortest price, I think, on the card this weekend, isn't it? They've been very hot recently, very, very hot. You've got to say, you know, that the performance they put in against Chelsea was outstanding. And I do fancy them to win this. I don't know if I could really be that tempted by the 1-3, though, with the thought that, you know, West Brom are a difficult side to beat. Made it very difficult in the first game. It was 1-1 at the Hawthorns. I know Ben Foster had an absolute worldie that day and kept a number of chances out. But Tottenham in the end had to get a fairly late equaliser there to get a draw at the Hawthorns. But I think it'll be a different story here. I think Tottenham come into this off the back of the best form in the Premier League, off the back of arguably one of the best performances in the Premier League this year. They've got players bang on form like Dele Alli, Harry Kane as well. He'll be looking to get a goal for his newborn daughter. If you're a subscriber to Nappy Factor, I think you are, Dave.
Yeah.
Free nappy with issue number one. Then definitely you'd be looking to back Harry Kane to get a goal this weekend. And there are a couple of enhanced odds offers that take my fancy as well. I like Dele Alli to score and Tottenham to win at 6-4, enhanced from 11-10. You know, he's got double figures already this season. Be hard to keep out. And Harry Kane to score as well in a low scoring Tottenham win. That 2-0, 2-1 or 3-1 enhanced to 9-2 also looks interesting.
Thank you, Simon. Derek, it does look to be an intriguing match, this, because as Simon said, Spurs are a very short price to win this game at 1-3. And West Brom have responded well from their defeats against Manchester United and Arsenal, picking up 3 points against Southampton and Hull. I don't think Tony Pulis will be too bothered about the cup disappointment.
Well, I don't know, Kim, I was a bit of surprised at, because he'd been talking about playing a strong side and wanting to do well in the Cup. So I didn't expect that performance or defeat. But you're right, yeah, they did bounce back from those games against, those defeats against Arsenal and Man United. Yeah, Albion are nobody's fools this season. I mean, I speak as everybody's fool. You know, when they lose, they don't lose heavily. You know, for instance, that game against United, it was, you know, they really give United a good test till late on. Similarly with Arsenal. Now, if Tottenham played like they did against, the two best performances this season have come from Tottenham against Chelsea recently and longer ago against Man City. They were the standout performances. But where have they been in the other matches? You know, they haven't performed like that. It's against these West Broms and that they, I think they struggle. They generally get the job done in the end, but not by a cricket score. So what I'm going to do here, I'm going to go for West Brom with a 2-goal start, which is just under the even money mark. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised to see Tottenham win, but no way that am I backing Spurs at 1-3. I mean, if I'm backing 1-3, I want it to be past the post, and this is a long way past the post.
West Brom plus 2 goals is available at 3-4 here with William Hill. That's Spurs versus West Brom at White Hart Lane on Saturday lunchtime. Tea time, we're at the King Power for Leicester City versus Chelsea. 5:30 kickoff. Leicester are 9-2 to win the match. The draw 16-5 with Chelsea in the market at 8-13. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win was 8-1, now 10-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 9-5, now 2-1. Leicester have picked up 18 of their 21 points at home this season, Derek, and this strikes me as the sort of match they will fancy. All those stars from last season might come alive in a match like this. They did against Manchester City earlier on in the season. I think they'll be at it from the get-go here.
Well, they will, but that game at Man City, increasingly, I mean, I waxed lyrical about Leicester after that game. I thought they were sensational. I thought, this is it, we're back to the old Leicester. But the form has been devalued with each passing week, hasn't it? With, you know, Leicester haven't reached those heights again, and City have gone, seemingly gone from bad to worse, apart from one or two bright spots. 9-2 definitely gives you something to think about. You know, this is the champions after all. They haven't performed like champions, we know that. But it's still a price, I think. It makes you think, should I let that go begging? I mean, Chelsea, you know, when everybody was raving about them, when you're putting all those wins together, there was something not quite right about them to me. I mean, you know, they were chasing Arsenal's, you know, the invincible season Arsenal's run. And no, not in a month of Sundays is this Chelsea team as good as that Arsenal invincible team. So a defeat was waiting to happen in my eyes. But still, they don't lose stitches like this. You know, since the early weeks of the season, when they've got a job to do against teams like Leicester, they've got it done. I don't see it being a cricket score. But let's not forget that in October, they give Leicester a 3-0. Hiding really at Stamford Bridge. Don't think it'll be like that this time around, but I think Chelsea are well worth a bet here to get 3 points.
8-13 Chelsea for Derek. That 13 match winning run, Simon, was halted by Spurs in that impressive Spurs performance at White Hart Lane. They've got to show they can bounce back from that. I'm sure they will. But once that 13 match winning run comes to an end, it is difficult for them to hit their straps quickly once again.
Yeah, I think what Spurs and particularly manager Maurizio Pochettino did there was show a blueprint as to how to beat Chelsea, really. I mean, it was a really clever game plan they had to try and pull on Azpilicueta as the smallest of the three centre-backs and get a really good header of the ball on him. Obviously, Dele Alli came up with the goods. And it wouldn't be a surprise to see a lot of teams really examining that 90 minutes, the Chelsea-Tottenham game, as to how you get to beat Chelsea. I can see Claudio Ranieri will probably be without, or certainly he's going to be without Riyad Mahrez, one of his best crosses of the ball, without Islam Slimani, one of his best headers of the ball. And Jamie Vardy's also, I think, severely doubtful for this game. So he's not got all the weapons he would like, but I still think that Leicester will find a way to score in this game. And I think it opens up the match result on both teams to score. Let's not forget, Chelsea conceded two in their previous Premier League game against Stoke City as well. So it's four goals conceded in two Premier League matches for what had been a fairly impregnable defence up to then. And I think that the chinks are starting to open in the Chelsea defence. Leicester to score, but Chelsea still to win. A better price at 5-2 for me.
5-2, Chelsea to win the game and both teams to score. If you are looking at the goal scorer markets, Ahmed Musa is likely to start for Leicester City. 14-5, he is to score any time. And of course, Diego Costa, always worth a glance in the Chelsea goal scorer markets. He's 3-1 to score first and 10-11 to score any time. On to the game at Goodison next, Everton versus Manchester City. This is live on Sunday at 1:30. And Everton are 7-2 to win this game. The draw 13-5. Manchester City in the betting at 5-6. Enhanced odds, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And if you think Sergio Aguero is going to score in a City win, that was 6-4. That's been boosted to 2-1. Simon, Everton without a win in their last seven against Manchester City. And I mentioned this on the FWA podcast. I think City's demise has been vastly overplayed. There was all that stuff about Guardiola not providing an adequate post-match press conference recently. But City have only lost 1-6. And that defeat came against an impressive Liverpool side. So things aren't that bad for Manchester City.
I think from where they want to be, yes, they are pretty bad. You know, this is a club who have got aspirations to be the biggest in England and, you know, a real world player. They've got a manager with a reputation that should be able to take them there. And yet they're standing, you know, fourth in the table, 7 points off the leaders. They lost that big game against Liverpool recently, followed up with a fairly ordinary performance against Burnley. All right, you know, 10 men, but all right. And they've come off the back of that with a win against West Ham in the Cup, which, you know, did sort of right a few problems there, but it was a very much a weakened West Ham side, and I don't think you can really take too much out of that. So I think there's still question marks about Manchester City, and you know, Everton are a side who, in the past at Goodison Park, have really pushed them close. I don't know if they can do it this time, but I think I wouldn't be too keen on backing Manchester City here just as an outright play. I would be looking to possibly try and get you know, a bit more positive about Everton here, and I think just both teams to score would be a play for me here. Everton with Lukaku. I think he'll give problems to the Manchester City centre-backs that have had issues all season. And I still think Claudio Bravo is a massive, you know, mistake waiting to happen. Crosses into the box. He looks very, very, you know, uncertain. He just projects that uncertainty around the whole of his defence. So rather than take Man City at 5-6 here, I just want to err with a bit of caution and think that maybe that, you know, they're both teams to score price. I know it's short at 8-13, but I'd be surprised if City didn't concede. I think the only time away from home recently they didn't concede against Hull City, did they? But I saw that game and they should have done. Hull City had one cleared off the line. And against West Ham, well, West Ham just weren't at the races. So I'm taking Everton to score here and both teams to score 8-13.
8-13, both teams to score, yes. Simon, what do you make to the signing of Morgan Schneiderlin for Everton? Is he going to be a success there, do you think?
Yeah, I think he'll have a chance. He's a good, solid Premier League player. Wasn't getting his matches at Manchester United. Understandable that he would want to go. And, you know, I think Everton, Everton know where they are. They're not at the stage where they're going to sign world-class players straight off the bat, despite all this investment. They've got to sign players of a level below that before then they can then, you know, get into a position where they're challenging for top six, challenging for top four, and then they can start to sign the world-class players that they obviously want in the long term. But they're at a stage where Schneiderlin just sits perfectly as the sort of player that they'd be looking to get.
Everton are 7-2 here to win this game, Derek. Is that a price that you find attractive?
Yeah, I do. I mean, Everton's tough to get a handle on. I mean, they started the season well, but pretty much since Halloween, their pumpkin face manager has been, you know, looking uncomfortable. And I would too if everybody wanted to use me ahead of the lantern. I mean, it doesn't seem to know what his best team is. But what you've got to say, Everton in their last six matches, they've gone from bad to great, bad to great, yeah, bad to great. I mean, you know, the fantastic performance against Arsenal, followed by that derby defeat by Liverpool, probably the easiest derby win since Shergar's for Liverpool that night. Then they beat Leicester 2-0, disappointing draw against Hull, fantastic against Southampton, and then, you know, that cup defeat at home to Leicester last week when they weren't at the races. So difficult to get a handle on, but at 7-2 against a City side that you know they're going to score against, because everybody does, apart from West Ham. Yeah, that's worth the price. That this is a team that beat Arsenal, you know, at Goodison just a few weeks ago. There's mileage in backing Everton here at 7-2. I don't think City are any kind of Everton. I think you have been very kind to them in the outset of this one, Dave. I think they're a shambles, City. I really do. I'm not getting fooled by that defeat against West Ham, the 5-0 win. West Ham are awful. They're easy to beat, Man City. Now, yes, on their day they can be sensational. But we're not seeing those days too often now. And for the players they've got there, you've got to ask questions about the manager. It will take time. His system will take time to gel. The players aren't comfortable doing what he's asking them to do. And he is too stubborn. Well, I mean, you could admire him for it. He wants to play a certain way. And if he's going to take a few beatings on the way, he'll accept that. I'm not sure the fans are happy with that. And I'm not sure some of the City players are either. But that's what's happening. And while that's going on, City are there to be beaten.
It is well worth noting as well here, Idrissa Gueye, who has been one of Everton's best players this season, is on African Cup of Nations duty with Senegal. And I think that's why they've rushed through the Morgan Schneiderlin signing. I'd be surprised if he didn't start this game in that central midfield area to try and break up play. Idrissa Gueye has made the most tackles in the Premier League this season. Everton 7-2 to win that match. The draw 13-5 Man City, and the betting at 5-6. That's the appetizer before the main course on Sunday. Old Trafford for Manchester United versus Liverpool. 4 p.m. kickoff, and United are 23-20 to win this game. The draw 9-4. Liverpool in the betting at 11-4. Enhanced odds offers Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 11-5, now 3-1. Roberto Firmino to score and Liverpool to win was 11-2, now 7-1. Derek, every time I come to a match involving Jose, a big match involving Jose Mourinho, I think maybe this is a time when he plays open, expansive football, but his pragmatism always seems to win out. And his first focus is not to concede. But this is a game, if Manchester United are to win the title, they've got to win. They must win this game against Liverpool, who are shaking a little bit without a winning three.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That, what you said about Mourinho, he certainly has to beat the tactics he employed in the reverse match at Anfield in October. That was what you call a St. Ledger game, hardly a classic. In fact, it was an absolute stinker. But right now, United, I mean, Ibrahimovic as well. I mean, I've been a sternest critic, but he's so lethal right now that I shout goal even before the ball reaches his feet. You should see the looks again in the pub. I mean, he's been, you know, he's answered his critics, hasn't he? And I know there was a big interview coming up on Sky with Thierry Henry where he's saying he's already conquered the Premier League. I mean, I think that's a bit premature. But in all the hype surrounding him and Pogba, it's easy to forget three important points. In fact, so easy I've forgotten them. I would have to say United here at these odds are absolutely nailed on. Liverpool, their last three games, they've fallen off a cliff. They've been absolutely appalling. I've watched all three games live. The one against Sunderland, where they were just, you got a 2-2 draw, but they were lucky to get that. Followed by that result against Plymouth when they played the kids. I know some of the, I mean, it was ridiculous team he fielded there. They were awful, though. And they were absolutely shocking. They were abysmal against Southampton in midweek. Now, why on earth are they going to beat the form team of the Premier League right now? It ain't going to happen. I think United have absolute certainties in this, and I'll be all on them, all over them all day long.
23-20, Manchester United to win the game. Simon, you go to Old Trafford for every single home game. There's been a vast improvement there in the last 8 weeks at Manchester United. They've won 9 straight games now. Do you expect this to be the kind of cakewalk that Derek's predicting?
Yeah, I think it's a win. I think it's definitely the best price there, 23-20 on Man United, the form they're in. You mentioned, you know, the Old Trafford, the atmosphere on the terraces or, you know, in the corporate sections, as you might say, very positive at the moment towards Jose Mourinho, that they're singing his name. I mean, even when they went 1-0 down to Middlesbrough, there was a real, you know, just that you can just feel the support still believed that, you know, that would be able to be retrieved. And, you know, over the last couple of seasons under Van Gaal, it was just not the case. So there's definitely a positive vibe about the club at the moment. And I think Ibrahimovic has turned it around as much as Mourinho, to be honest. You know, he's got so much charisma, so much belief in himself. And I think that the players all take the lead from him. So it wasn't too surprising to see when he was left out due to what's reported to be an illness in midweek, that the United team was a little bit flat. They didn't really perform as well as you would have expected against a team they should be thrashing, to be honest. He's back, Ibrahimovic, and I expect him to have a leading role in this game. We all remember that the first match, for the fact that it was a dull 0-0, but he had the best chance in that game. That header put on a plate for him by Paul Pogba, and he inexplicably missed the target. I expect him to make up for that. And I think Ibrahimovic just scoring a Man United win is a good enhancement there from 11-5 to 3-1.
Do you think Wayne Rooney will play, Simon?
No. No, I don't think so. I just can't see how he fits into the best 11 at the moment. You know, if there was a last-minute injury, he might be, you know, he might be asked to step in, but he's not in the best 11. He's not even in the best 12 or 13 at the moment, to be honest.
Manchester United 23-20 for both Derek and Simon in this game. Just one final word for you, Derek, here. Philippe Coutinho's return in the Cup is obviously a major positive. I know how highly you rate him. Will he be match fit or fully match fit to start this game, or do you think he'll be an impact sub from the bench for Jurgen Klopp?
I think he's got to play him. Right now, Liverpool look leggy, and he's coming back from a layoff. Okay, he isn't match fit, but he'll brace up in the half an hour he played the other night. They've got to play him. If they're going to unlock United, they need him, because right now, I mean, Firmino was falling off the cliff in particular. He had a fantastic start to the season, but you can't get anything out of him at the moment. Sturridge, we all know about. Liverpool look ordinary right now, and Coutinho is the man that can change things, but I still expect United to win comfortably.
Sadio Mane, a big loss as well, Derek, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I'm still not entirely convinced by Mane, to be honest. I mean, he's a buzzy player, you know, he gives it everything, but I'm still not 100% convinced.
Okay. Swansea versus Arsenal is the first of the non-televised games we're going to look at. This is at the Liberty, and Swansea are 6-1 to win the match. The draw 100-30 with Arsenal in the market at 1-2. Enhanced odds, Gylfi Sigurdsson to score, and Swansea to win was 17-2. That's been boosted to 10-1, and Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 11-5, now 3-1. Swansea's win against Crystal Palace in the league was followed by a loss away at Hull in the Cup. That's clearly, Simon, not a priority for Swansea this season. They're still 19th in the league. Arsenal, outside the top four going into the weekend, though, they eventually took care of Preston North End in the Cup with Olivier Giroud grabbing what is now a customary late goal. He's actually scored in each of his last 8 starts for Arsenal in all competitions, Olivier Giroud. Simon, he's been a big impact in the last 2 months for the Gunners. The 1-2 to win this game away at Swansea.
Yeah, Giroud signed a new contract this week. One of 3 Arsenal players to commit themselves to the club, which is interesting with the backdrop of the Ozil and Alexis Sanchez contracts. But how many times do you see a guy who's just signed a new contract get a goal straight off the back of that? And Giroud's in great form anyway. I think he's 17-20 any time to score against a Swansea side who've just lacked any kind of defensive cohesion this season. The sale of Ashley Williams at the start of the season was massive for them. You know, not only a leader, but a very good organiser at the back of their defence. And I think, you know, central defence has been a massive weakness for Swansea this season. I can see Giroud having his way, and I think he will start for Arsenal in this game. So I'm very confident Arsenal will come through with the 3 points, get themselves back into top four contention. Swansea, they're going to be a work in progress under Paul Clement, aren't they? I think he will, you know, take a while to stamp his own style on that club. But also, he needs signings. He needs central defensive signings, and he needs to make them quickly in January here.
Arsenal, are you going a comprehensive win then, Simon?
I think so, yeah. I think Arsenal to win minus a goal. Mm. You know, I think that they could easily cover that handicap at the moment. The minus a goal handicap, 6-5, may even be more, but they don't really need to. You know, I think Arsenal, they're not the sort of side who will, away from home, really stick it to a team. Once they get 2-0 up, once they get the 2-goal cushion, I think they will just look to, you know, see out the result and try and get a clean sheet from that one.
Just 15 points they've got, Swansea, from their 20 games this season so far. And 25 of the 35 sides that have had 15 points or fewer after 20 Premier League games have been relegated. So big test, Derek, for Paul Clement taking over at Swansea.
Yeah, I see signs of life in them. You know, that result against Palace, I mean, nobody expected it apart from me, I seem to remember. And, you know, OK, it was disappointing they didn't follow it up against Arsenal, but against Hull in the Cup. But, you know, it doesn't mean a light FA Cup form when it comes to league form, does it, really? We all know that now. I just can't have Arsenal at these prices away from home. I know I keep saying this when we see them in matches like this, and they're always around, you know, 8-13 or whatever. And I keep saying, no, can't back them, and they keep winning. But I've just got a funny feeling about this one. I have not been impressed by Arsenal for a long, long time. Something is not right at that club. Now, OK, it's asking a lot for Swansea to beat them. I mean, Paul Clement would have to be a miracle worker to oversee that kind of improvement in such a short time. But we will see an improvement. You've got to be there. That defence, I mean, I can take over and foster an improvement in that defence. So Clement surely will. What I'm saying is that I wouldn't be in a rush to be putting Arsenal in all your acres as a certainty this weekend, because I don't think it will be. I looked at the sticks and I thought, this is a nailed-on both teams to score match. But then again, your odds compiler's got there before me, because it's ridiculously short odds, 13-20, I think, something like that. So yeah. I can't touch that. I'm going to play on the goals here. I've got a funny feeling about this fixture. I'm going to play over 3.5 goals, so 4 or more, 6-4.
Over 3.5 for Derek at 6-4. West Ham next. They take on Crystal Palace at the London Stadium. West Ham 11-8 to win the game. The draw 23-10 with Crystal Palace in the betting at 11-5. Enhanced odds, Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 14-5. Now 4-1, and Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 4-1, now 5-1. Derek, Sam Allardyce returning to his former club. You could say that most weeks with Big Sam, though, admittedly. It does add a little bit of spice to this fixture, I suppose.
Oh, yes, he will for him. I mean, he was the West Ham fans never took to him, did they? I mean, I don't know any fans I ever have. And so he'll be itching to put one over on them. And his Palace side are meeting West Ham at just the right time. You know, they're in disarray, aren't they, Hammers? That shocking cup performance at home against Manchester City. I mean, that was unbelievably bad. And now we've had the Dimitri Payet business. I noticed you're enhanced odds involved Payet, but he won't be playing. We know that. He's been left out because he said he wouldn't play in this. West Ham apparently don't match his ambition. And his ambition being to get paid twice what he's on now, I think. I can't have West Ham. They're there for the taking. The fans are dissenting. The players aren't happy at the ground. And it was interesting what City said after that 5-0 win. The London Stadium suited them. The big stadium, you know, it's not the fans. Right, the fans aren't right on top of them and unsettling their players. I'm not saying Palace and Manchester City, but I've got a feeling they'll fancy it as well. I'm going for Palace here. The big Sam factor comes into it as well, of course, because he will. One thing he won't want to happen here is to lose to West Ham. And show the Hammers fans that they were right to distrust them. I fancy Palace here.
11-5 for Crystal Palace. I think Gold, Sullivan and Lady Brady, Simon, they won't be bothered if they can get 40, 50 million for Dimitri Payet, a player that's nearing 30 years old and came back from the Euros a little bit chubby around the gills, shall we say, and he's not performed brilliantly this season. I think if they can get a big sweaty wad of cash for Dimitri Payet, they'll be happy enough.
Yeah, I think there was a bit of melodrama about Slaven Bilic's press conference, wasn't there? I mean, he sort of built his part up quite a bit, didn't he, before delivering the news about Dimitri Payet not wanting to play. Like, all right, it's a major blow to all the West Ham fans who've supported him, and probably to Bilic as well, in the fact that he's you know, given him the platform to perform over the last couple of seasons. But really, it is a business. Payet knows the score, and he knows he's got to force his way out of that club. I don't think they'll get anything like 30 to 40 million for him. The performance he's been putting in recently, though, to be honest. But it's just a sideshow, isn't it? This game is about Sam Allardyce, isn't it? It's not about Dimitri Payet. He's not going to be there. Sam Allardyce, the pantomime villain, going back to you know, the club that he did a pretty good job with before they dispensed with his services. His record against West Ham is actually quite good, isn't it? I think he's been beaten just once in his last 10 Premier League games against West Ham. And I don't think they get beat here, Crystal Palace. You know, this will be a game that he'll have been targeting since he took that job. I'm sure when he looked at their fixtures coming up when he agreed to take over Crystal Palace, this was a big red letter day for him. And 11-5 on Crystal Palace to win the game against a West Ham side who just have not convinced at all this season. Looks a great price.
Crystal Palace, the pick unanimously. 11-5 in that game at the London Stadium. On to Burnley versus Southampton next. Burnley 13-5 to win this game. The draw 11-5 with Southampton in the market at 6-5. Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 9-2, enhanced to 6-1. If you like the look of Shane Long to score in a Southampton win, that was 14-5. That's now 4-1. Burnley, Simon, picked up 22 of their 23 points in the Premier League this season at Turf Moor. Can that home form continue? I suppose that's the question, Simon, that needs answering.
I suppose it can, but I can't have the Southampton price at 6-5. I don't know where William Hill are getting 6-5 on Southampton, going to, like you say, a very good home side in the Premier League. Burnley, you know, have beaten some much better sides than Southampton at home this season. And I think you've got to look at the 13-5 very seriously. Personally, I think it's going to be a low-scoring draw, this one. I can see Southampton have improved defensively in the last, certainly the last game against Liverpool, where they, you know, came with a very defensive game plan and got the clean sheet they wanted in that first leg of the semi-final. Burnley, you know, Andre Gray is obviously a big player for them. If he can you know, get half a yard, he might get a goal. But to be honest, I think this one could be the nil-nil of the week and could be a bit of a stodgy affair. So I'm going to go for the draw here at 11-5. Although Burnley have been very good at home, I think Southampton have just shown me that they can shut up shop away from home here and get a draw in this one.
If you're looking at the nil-nil draw, that's 15-2, the nil-nil draw in this match. Derek had a tweet earlier in the week from Matthew Kraft, and he said, just happened to glance at the weekend fixtures, in brackets, slow work day. I think we may have a Derek best bet of all time contender at Turf Moor. That's what was said on Twitter.
Yes, yes, he knows me well. It's probably your best bet of all time, isn't it, Dave, knowing how highly you rate Burnley? The prices are ridiculous. If Burnley were away from home at Southampton, what price would they? I don't think they'd be that much bigger, to be honest. You know, what would you get, 9-2 maybe, Burnley, at Southampton?
Yeah, maybe a little bit bigger.
I just don't understand it. I really don't. It's like, you know, I keep saying, Sam's already picked up on the love your odds compilers have for Southampton. Because every time they're priced up, I think they're criminally underpriced. And the opposite applies to Burnley. So it's like your odds compilers are saying, right, we've cocked up a few times on these two teams. Come and get us if you think you're hard enough. You know, we're going to get all our money back here. It's unmissable. Burnley are unmissable at 13-5. Southampton have only won two away from home. They've just played had a great result against Liverpool in the Cup semi-final. They've got the second leg coming up soon. There's no mileage in the league form for them now. They're obviously targeting in the Cups. If I was Southampton, I wouldn't try it. We've seen it before. Many teams get to this stage of the season safe in the league and the form falls off a cliff in the Premier League. I can see it happening with Southampton here. Burnley, yeah, in fact, not just the best of this lifetime, the best of anybody's lifetime ever. Henry VIII, Hitler, anybody. It's just an unbelievable bet.
That's just how your mind works, that you threw Hitler in there, Derek. 13-5 Burnley to win the game. The draw 11-5 Southampton in the market at 6-5. Sunderland versus Stoke is up next. 2-1 Sunderland to win the game. The draw 11-5 Stoke in the betting at 6-4. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 17-5. Now 4-1. And Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke City to win was 18-5. That's now 5-1. Some of those teams that were berthed in mid-table, Derek, not going to finish in the top six, but not going to be relegated either, still treated the FA Cup with contempt last weekend by fielding weakened sides. Stoke didn't, and then got knocked out by Wolves. Sunderland 18th in the league, good point at home against Liverpool in the last league game. And Jermaine Defoe, who's part of the enhanced odds offer, is keeping this team afloat, really, Sunderland. I quite like them, though, here at 2-1 Sunderland, Derek, in this match. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I'm surprised to see Stoke favourites for this one. Again, they've only won two games away from home this season. I don't see any mileage in backing them. And you're right, Sunderland, that performance against Liverpool, had I not watched that, I probably wouldn't have gone for them this game. But they were sensational in that 2-2 draw. I thought that the players weren't turning it on for David Moyes. They were just, you know, biding time before another manager was brought in, or biding time before relegation beckoned even more. But I've never seen a team put in so much effort in a game. Seriously, that's how impressed I was with them that day. And if they can do that against Stoke, they'll win. I think 2-1 is a bit of value. They won to get this picture 2-0 last season. In fact, they've won the last three on home territory against Stoke. They lost the reverse fixture in October 2-0. But there's something a little bit more about Sunderland now. Moyes is getting his feet under the table a bit more. And Stoke, a difficult team to catch right, aren't they? Decent performances against Chelsea and Liverpool, but still shipped 4 goals in both of those games. And that performance against Wolves last week in the Cup, well, it was as abysmal as anything, you know, you've seen this season. Has to be Sunderland.
2-1 Sunderland. Stoke have lost their last three Premier League away games, conceding 11 goals in the process as well. Simon, they strike me as a team without an identity at the moment, Stoke City.
Yeah, I think Mark Hughes is just maybe revising the identity that he'd tried to create for Stoke. The talk at the moment is that Bojan could be on his way. And, you know, he was almost the jewel in the crown of Stoke City just over a year ago, wasn't he? You know, the player that was meant to really emphasise how they changed from being a physical side to a bit more of a sort of almost like a, well, they call them Stoke Alona, didn't they, for a while? But I think Stoke Alona comparisons are all out the window now. This is definitely a more they're going for a more physical style now. Peter Crouch is back in the side again, isn't he? Peter Crouch is actually scoring a couple of goals for them, but this is a tricky game. Also made more tricky by the fact that Mike Dean's a referee. Now, remember at the start of the season, Stoke were having big problems with Mike Dean. He was giving penalties against them for every third corner that was put into their penalty area. To be honest, the grappling issue was a major factor. And I think they won't be happy to see Mike Dean referee this one. He gives a lot of penalties. He's also been fairly out of form recently, and some of his decisions have cost teams dear. I think he might ruin this one for Stoke City as well, to be honest. You know, I like Sunderland with Defoe scoring goals. Defoe scoring penalties as well, which might be interesting if there is a spot kick given their way. But yeah, I think Sunderland win this, to be honest, and Stoke going through a major identity crisis.
Yeah, I do like that. Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 17-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. Watford versus Middlesbrough next at Vicarage Road. And Watford are 6-4 to win this game. They draw 21-10 with Middlesbrough at 21-10. Enhanced odds, Troy Deeney to score and Watford to win was 7-2, now 4-1. And Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. Watford are undefeated in their last six in the league against Borough. They've won four of those and drawn two. And Middlesbrough have only won one of their last 23 away games in the top flight, losing 16 of those. Watford favoured over Middlesbrough, Simon, here. 6-4, Watford.
Last match on Match of the Day. Absolutely nailed on.
Yeah.
If you're a Watford and a Middlesbrough fan, you might as well set the alarm for about 1 o'clock in the morning, because this is going to be a real poor game for me. I've seen Middlesbrough a few times this year, and away from home, they are very negative. You know, they obviously go for a clean sheet, looking to just nick something on the break if they can. And Watford have been struggling for goals themselves recently, so I think we're going to look at a very drab affair here. I know Watford came through against Burton Albion with a slightly weakened lineup in the cup last week. But other than that, they've been fairly abject. And there's a real feeling among the Watford fans that Walter Mazzarri could be on his last legs. You know, he was all the rage, wasn't he? He was, very fashionable early this season when they beat Manchester United. They were getting good results at home. It's all gone wrong for him. And I think, you know, they've got a lot of injuries. Obviously, the Pereira was probably the big one, because he was the player that played in the hole and the playmaker, really. And his loss has really seen their form take a massive nosedive. And I don't think they've got enough up front here to beat Middlesbrough. I'll be looking at Middlesbrough to get a positive result here. And if you don't fancy the 21-10 on them to win, the draw no bet would come into it for me. I think they don't get beat, but they might not score either, because they are that negative. Middlesbrough draw no bet is 11-10, so that's a good way in for what could be a very stodgy game.
Yeah, I think that's a very good bet.
It is, actually. You know what? I hate that bet as a principle. You know, draw no bet. I'm having a bet. I don't want my money back. I want to win or lose. But there's reasons for that. That's a great bet in this occasion. You know, if it's going to be a winner here, it's going to be Middlesbrough, because Watford are dire. I tell you what, they're 7 points clear of the drop zone. God knows how, because they are the worst team I've seen in this division. Not just in one game. This is about four or five games I've seen them, and they've been atrocious. I can't believe they're so high in the table. And Big Ron used to say there's a team on the glass mountain. Well, it's Watford's big time this season. They are in serious trouble. That's how bad they are. So yeah, they're not going to beat Middlesbrough. I can't nail the colour to the Borough mask, though, because away from home, as Simon says, the you know, they just don't go for it enough. They've only won one away from home. So I'm going to go unders on the goals. Under 1.5 is 13-8. A little bit shorter than you would normally see in a Premier League contest. But as we know, there are very, very good reasons for that. And it looks nailed on, that bet.
This could be the 0-0. 13-2 for the 0-0 draw in the game. Watford 6-4 to win it. The draw 21-10. Middlesbrough in the betting at 21-10. And we finish with Hull versus Bournemouth at the KCOM, and Hull are 11-5 to win this match. The draw 12-5 with Bournemouth in the market at 13-10. Enhanced odds, Robert Snodgrass to score and Hull to win was 4-1. That's been boosted to 5-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Derek, I've no idea. I mentioned it earlier on. I've no idea why Bournemouth played such a weak side in the Cup. It makes zero sense to me. ninth in the league. They're safe, but they won't finish top six, you wouldn't think. Eddie Howe, young English manager, you think he would have gone for it, but they played such a weak side in the cup and got knocked out.
I know, if I was a Bournemouth fan, I wouldn't be very happy with that. I mean, what is he playing at? There's the big teams, you've got to be thinking, you know, the FA Cup's not top of their priorities. Then Bournemouth are in the same position like Wimbledon winning when they won it in about 1988 when they beat Liverpool, you know, just outside, sixth or seventh. Could give the cup a good run, and they just threw it away. What is it? What, I mean, it's not as if they're overloaded with fixtures, Bournemouth, is it? Just absolute madness. And they're overrated here by our odds compilers. 13-10 is no kind of bet. They've only won two games away from home this season in the Premier League. I know this is probably their easiest task, but still, you know, that's no kind of price. And this is a win at all cost match for Hull. It isn't for Bournemouth. It is for Hull. They've got to get a result here because I think their next four fixtures after this are against the top four teams in the league, if memory serves. So if you don't get a 3-pointer here, they are definitely doomed. Oh, I'm going to go for Hull here. I think they're slightly overpriced because this Bournemouth team, yeah, they're the tidy side and on the day you can play some good football, but they're very, very beatable. And you know, the manner of that, he won a lot of plaudits for that first half performance against Arsenal when they were exceptional. But it was easy to score against him that second half. Arsenal didn't have to do anything to score against him. It's got to be Hull.
11-5 Hull. Out for revenge as well, this Hull City side, Simon. Bournemouth beat them 6-1 at the Vitality Stadium back in October.
Yeah, that was Mike Phelan's probably worst day as a full-time manager. He's not a full-time manager anymore. He's a pundit, isn't he? Yeah, but I think Marco Silva is definitely reining the horses in at Hull City. Now, they have been under Phelan this season. They've been a little bit too easy to score against. They've been obviously playing three at the back, and often Harry Maguire has been gallivanting forward like, you know, Franz Beckenbauer, or you know, he thinks he is. But, you know, I think Marco Silva is going to instill a bit more defensive discipline into Hull City. We've seen that in the first two games, particularly the win they had against Swansea in the FA Cup, which was very... you know, very much a sort of tight unit, and that they picked off Swansea towards the end there. Against Manchester United, they defended very well with effectively, you know, a central midfielder playing centre-back. Huddleston didn't have a bad game until maybe he was beaten by that Fellaini header. But, I think Hull City are a good price there at 11-5. Bournemouth, I totally agree with Derek. Strange selection by Eddie Howe for the FA Cup, you know, and sometimes you see teams who've weakened for the Cup, you know, not quite hit their stride the week after as well. You know, you've got players there who've had the week off and they suddenly come back in and they're pitted against players who've been sharp week in, week out. So I like Hull here at 11-5. I think Silva also has made a key decision in bringing back Eldin Yakupovic, the goalkeeper who started the season at Hull but was then replaced by Marshall when Phelan signed him on the day before transfer deadline day. And, you know, Marshall's performances, although he can be brilliant at times, he makes some good saves, but he also is capable of the odd aberration. Jakubovic has been very solid, and I think that's a key decision to bring him back in. So I'm taking Hull here at 11-5.
Both with Hull at 11-5, and that wraps up the Premier League weekend. Now, just time for the naps, the best bet. This weekend, I'll give you a little bit of thinking time, Simon, for a moment, and we'll cross to Derek for his best bet. What are you going for, Derek?
Well, I'm allowed to. I know that you want to go for Burnley, don't you? But you're leading, so you've got to allow me to step in on Burnley here. 13-5 to beat Southampton.
Yeah, definitely. 13-5 Burnley to beat Southampton. I don't think I would have gone for Burnley this weekend, so I'm not too displeased about that. Simon, what's your best bet?
Yeah, I'm going for Middlesbrough draw, no bet. I think the form that Watford in at the moment and the whole situation... I mean, they've signed Tom Cleverley, haven't they? But that's not going to turn the season around. I think there's a bit of inertia at Watford, and a great time for Middlesbrough to go there and take advantage. I think possibly they can win, but I think being as though I'm not playing with my money here, I'm playing with Tom Cohen to make sure I don't lose his nap this week. So I'm adding in some safety and going for draw, no bet, 11-10.
You know what I'm going to go for? I'm going for West Brom +2. It's a bet that you mentioned earlier on the podcast, Derek, because you're betting that game, I think it was.
Yeah,
3-4 West Brom +2. I think they make life difficult for Spurs at White Hart Lane. So the treble, Burnley at 13-5, Middlesbrough draw no bet at 11-10, and West Brom +2 at 3-4, and it's 12.23-1.
smells like a winner, that, doesn't
that does
it?
That looks like a winner, that one.
Yeah.
Thank you for your company, chaps. Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you for filling in, Simon. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
No worries.
And thank you, everyone that's tuned into the podcast as well. Make sure you check us out on Twitter and also on audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill and you can download all William Hill's on-demand audio. If you're having a bet on the Premier League, go to sports.williamhill.com. And if you're having a bet, very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.